Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's edition of Front Porch Talks took place on Saturday morning, October 22nd, 2016, at Fall Retreat for our youth from Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. And Fall Retreat took place at Watermarks Camp in Scottsville, Virginia. And in the Saturday morning session of Fall Retreat, Pastor Drew Ritter, who's pastor of the Living Stone Church of the Nazarene in Verona, came and spoke to the youth about fear.
I'm a little freaked out. I have a time limit. I never have time limits. And some of you know, like, I can talk all day. So there have been times at church I've actually invited people to get a sandwich and come back. Anyway, you guys having fun?
Yeah.
Good so far? Got some games today? Some stuff to do? Gonna be cool? Yeah, gonna be all right. I'm hoping that as you're having fun, you also are giving some part of your brain to the subject matter that we have been talking about. I've been trying to think a lot. You know, obviously we're talking about fear and anxiety. They're sort of cousins. They go together. Anxiety, there's lots of definitions of the word anxiety, but essentially what anxiety is undefined fear. It's energy that is spent on things that cannot be fully addressed. Anxiety is fear that hasn't been dealt with, or fear that hasn't been named, fear that hasn't been placed, causes anxiety. There's a lot more you can get into that. That's just a real simple version. Fear, pretty much all fear can be brought down to one of two things. There's either fear of pain or fear of loss. Can we agree on that? If you really thought long and hard about it, there's really two things. And you can say you're afraid of spiders or snakes, but what you're really afraid of is them biting you, right? Being in their presence isn't scary. It's them biting you that's a problem. So that's a fear of pain. That's a very practical fear. That's a fear that's natural from God. And there's fear of loss, like you may have the fear of someone dying, or the fear of being made fun of, where you lose your dignity. That's a much less tangible thing. You know what I mean by that? There's the fears that are real easy to understand, like the fear of falling. You're not really afraid of falling. You're afraid of landing. Right? Can we agree on this? So I've been thinking about fears that I've had in my life. And, you know, it's just sort of the natural thing that I do. And how these things work out. What I want you to do this weekend is really name your fear. We did that last night. And if you haven't, if you come up with new ones, put them on the wall. Name the fears, and then I want you to dig deeper. Why are you afraid? What is it? Is it a fear of pain, or is it a fear of loss? That's what we're, all of this is about, trying to really get down to the source. So I've been thinking of my lifetime, things that I have been afraid of. And there have been both kinds. When I was young, I was terrified of fire. I mean, little. And not fire in general, like campfires. I've always thought campfires were great. I like campfires, fireplaces, s'mores. How do you beat s'mores? Hibachis, you know, fire is cool. Candles. I like to burn stuff. I'm a natural boy. I like to blow stuff up. But I was afraid of the house burning down. And it was like a serious fear that I had. I was really afraid that our house would catch on fire. When I was about 10, our house caught on fire. And I'm going to try to tell you briefly how this went down. My brother, who would have been about 14, decided to make breakfast. You really don't need a lot more detail after that, do you? But he left a skillet full of bacon grease on a burner and left the kitchen for whatever reason. And the way that I was outside, because I was 10 and I was a boy, so duh, it was summertime. I was outside. It was maybe mid-morning. The way that we knew there was a problem in the house was when we heard stuff falling out of the cabinets, because the cabinets were on fire. The bottom was dropping out of the cabinets. So came into the house, and my mother was at the other end of the house in the study doing whatever moms do in the study. Mom studies stuff. And she came running into the kitchen, and a house fire is a scary thing. If you've never experienced that, I hope you don't. But I will give you this little nugget. I was afraid of being burned And the vast majority of people in house fires are not burned. It's oxygen deprivation, which is a much kinder way to pass away than to get burned, I think. But anyway, the smoke was down about yay far. It was black, heavy, thick smoke building up in the kitchen. And I'm not trying to terrify you. I'm just not. My mother came into the kitchen, and she knew exactly what to do. She grabbed a wooden spoon, and she stuck it in the skillet, and she pulled it across the stove to get it off the source of heat. And it's the craziest thing. I'll never forget it. And I think the grease had all burned up. It was just the Teflon on the skillet that was burning at this point. And she pulled it off the burner, and it stopped burning. And very shortly thereafter, the fire in the cabinets just sort of fizzled out. Once the source was removed, the fire went out. And the smoke cleared eventually, and there was some damage. And actually, it was really cool because we ended up having the kitchen rebuilt, which is awesome for a 10-year-old because we tore out all the old stuff. Sledgehammers in the house is awesome. Taking walls down, stuff is fabulous. But anyway, it's a whole other story. But the coolest thing was, never again was I afraid of the house catching. I mean, I think about it. I take reasonable precautions. We have smoke alarms in my house. We have fire extinguishers in my house. And we don't let the children cook. No, wait, that's another thing. But I'm not afraid anymore. Because I've been through it and came out on the other side. And it's okay. So, scripture I want to read for you today comes from Matthew chapter 14. It's a similar story to what we talked about last night, but it is a different story. If you want to go with me to Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 22, I'm going to sort of rapid fire this on. It should be somewhat familiar to most. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." This lake is good. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water. He came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when he climbed back into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshipped, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." How cool does it be to walk on the water? Sounds pretty great. If you don't know Peter, let me tell you a little bit about Peter. Peter is notorious for saying and doing stupid things. He opens his mouth and something dumb comes out. It's just, you ever feel like that? You ever feel like that guy? Like, can I just have those words back, please? The ones that I just gave you, can I get those back? That's Peter. He blurts it out. And so he has this reputation of being kind of dim. But let's be honest, if you read the dumb things that Peter said, they're the things everybody else was thinking. He just is dumb enough to actually vocalize them. That's Peter. So, same disciples as last night. A storm on the lake. Similar situation. Jesus walking. Can you put yourself there? Probably not. You've probably never seen anything exactly like that. Jesus walking on the water. So Peter, being Peter, says, "If it's you, tell me to come to you." Okay, well, it was Jesus. So Peter kind of put Jesus in a box. Because he was Jesus. So Jesus said, "Okay, come on." And now Peter has a problem. because he has asked for something and the Lord has offered it to him. Now what you going to do? So he stood up and he got out of the boat. He walked on water. Now, when I read this story, I think about Peter. The big things he was okay with. Standing up, talking to Jesus, standing on a lake. That's a little weird. He did that. Fine. Standing up in the boat really isn't that hard. Stepping out of the boat, probably really not that big a deal. But it was the walking that was a problem. It was the ordinary, the mundane thing that he had trouble with. Something that he learned to do when he was 3. That was a problem. The walking was where he got in trouble. And you'll notice that Jesus didn't say, "Why are you afraid?" Because as we discussed last night, Jesus would understand why he was afraid. He didn't say, "Why are you afraid?" He says, "Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt that I would do what you asked me to do?" 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "God has not given us a spirit of fear." We shouldn't be afraid. If God calls us into something, we should be bold and trust him to go do it. But how many times has God, maybe you've asked God for something, and he says, "Okay, sure." But he doesn't just give it to you. God works that way. God is not a vending machine. You understand this, right? We think God, if I want a blessing, I should just go ask God, and God should just give me the blessing because we are, 21st century Americans. That's what we expect. You put your coin in, you get your stuff. Or you swipe it, and you get your whatever, right? God doesn't usually work that way. If you ask God for something, most of the time, God is going to say, "Reach for it. Get up and walk a little bit." And that's the part we're usually not ready for. We don't have any problem asking. Where we get scared is when we need to put up or shut up. When there's actually something that we need to do is usually when we get in trouble. We don't have any problem believing that Jesus can do whatever Jesus wants to do. But it's believing that Jesus will do through me what Jesus wants to do. You notice here, Peter didn't doubt Jesus. Because if you doubt someone, you don't cry out to them and say, "Come save me." You don't do that to somebody who you don't believe can save you, do you? He didn't doubt Jesus at all. He doubted himself. He was scared, as he should have been. He was walking on the water. That's weird. I don't recommend trying today, because that's odd. He doubted himself, and he doubted that Jesus would do in him what he had asked him to do. And there's so many lessons in this. I could go on all day on this. There's so much to unpack out of this piece. There's a couple things that I want you to remember out of this, though. Life, particularly life in Christ, is not a destination. It's not our goal to get to heaven, although that's going to be awesome. I'm excited when it's time. And I've often said, the idea of being dead to me sounds incredible. Eternity with Jesus, that sounds awesome. Heaven, the more I read about it, the better it gets. It's the transition from here to there that has me a little nervous. How exactly am I going to check out of here? That has me a little concerned. I don't ponder it often. Life with Jesus is not about big things. Life in Christ is about a walk. That's why we call it a walk of faith. It's a series of little things on top of each other. Take one step. And some of those steps are harder to take than others. Some of those steps, you cannot see the ground that you're about to walk on. But that's okay. Faith tells us that that's okay. Fear will tell you that you don't know. So don't do it. But that's not God's way. As I told you in 2 Timothy, we don't have a spirit of fear. We've been given a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. Now that sound mind thing, I'm a little shaky on sometimes. But we do have the ability to realize things that we should be afraid of. Like you should be afraid of snakes to a certain degree, because they will hurt you if you let them. That's the sound mind part. You should be wise. Right? Playing with fire is dumb. That's blowing stuff up, not so much. But playing with fire is not smart. Okay? So he's given us a sound mind. But we're not supposed to be governed by fear. Remember, it says in the very beginning, Jesus made the disciple get in the boat. Whatever situation you are in, remember who put you there. Jesus is with you in your boat, whatever boat it is you are in. Jesus is there too. When I was in college, I rented a house with a couple other dorms. And it was a dump. Oh, have mercy. In Blacksburg. The rent was $75 a month each. Okay? It was a dump. And I came home from studying one day and came into the house, and there was a pot on fire on the stove in the kitchen. One roommate was asleep, and the other roommate, I have no idea where he was. He was MIA. But somebody had put something on the stove to get it started and went to his room to change clothes and decided it was nap time. And the stove was a-blazing. So I came in, and I stooped down low enough that I wasn't sucking in all the black smoke. And I grabbed the very tip of the end of the handle, and I chucked that pot into the sink, which was empty. It wasn't full of water, because you don't do that with a grease fire. But it was an old house, had a porcelain sink. I knew that it was fireproof. So I took the skillet away from the source of heat and chucked it into the sink. And you know what happened? The fire went out. Crazy thing. Because I had already seen this. And I knew that if you remove whatever is wrong from its source, it's not a problem. Eventually, it might be instant, but eventually. Now, a little anecdote about this. When I pulled the pot away from the... Do you remember burners?
Yeah.
Like, we all have glass top stoves now. Do you remember when they actually had burners? This was an old house, okay? It was a dump. And so when I yanked the pot to throw it in the sink, the pot had fused to the burner. So the burner came with it. So burner and all came off the stove, flaming into the sink. So I goes out, open windows, open doors, have a few less than polite things to say to my roommate, and come back in the kitchen. When we get back in the kitchen, whatever metal the pot was made out of was a different metal than the burner was made out of. So those of you that have studied physics know that heat metal contracts and expands at different rates. While we're standing there, the burner and the pot defuse from each other, and in such a way that it actually threw the pot back across the kitchen. Twang! And the pot went flying back and hit the wall, and soot went everywhere. And we got a good laugh out of it because it wasn't scary anymore. Because the fire went out. Why did I tell you all of that? I don't even know. Whatever you're really afraid of, let me ask you, what are you really afraid of? Is it fear? Is it loss? Fear of loss? I wasn't necessarily afraid of getting hurt, I was afraid of losing all my stuff. I think, if the house burned down. I'm not sure what it was. But you need to find out what the source of your fear is and separate it from who you are. You need to get away from the source of whatever it is that you're afraid of. Because if it's not sourced, it has no power over you. Fear has... You understand this. Pay attention to what I'm about to say. Fear has no power over you. Do you believe that? Fear has no power over you that you have not given yet. What we need to figure out how to do is how to turn the power off to the fear that is driving all of this anxiety. I spend a lot of time with teenagers, and so I ask a lot of questions. And the most common, sorry, I'm going a little long. Do I have a couple minutes? The most common fear that I hear among teenagers, and I've heard it here this weekend, people are going to judge me. People are going to judge me. If I do that, people may judge me. And okay, I'm old. I've had a little more life experience. So what if they do? Actually, let me defuse this one more step. I can guarantee you, for certain, people will judge you. Let me just take the energy away from that right now. People will judge you. So what? People like you, people don't like you. So? How does that hurt you? Really? Get to the core. How does that hurt you if somebody doesn't like you? Or somebody doesn't like what you're wearing? Somebody doesn't like the way you do your hair? So what? Do you feel the source of that going away? I really hope so. I really want you to internalize what I just said. If people judge you, so what? They're going to. Sometimes they're going to judge you and think, wow, he's good looking. Judge away. And sometimes they're not. Who cares? You know what? So is God. God is going to judge you also. And I don't mean that as a source of fear. I mean that as a source of security. God is also going to judge you. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, he is going to judge you as a winner. Yay! You are worthy. He is going to judge you as worthy of his sacrifice. He is going to judge you as perfect. In fact, he already has. So what if some kid at school judges you? God already has. And God's already judged them too. Hello. There should be some joy in that knowledge. You've already been judged. And because of the blood of Christ, you win. Yay. You don't need Adrian Cash, although it's cool. You're already a winner. Who cares if people judge you? Get over it. So she doesn't want to go out with you. Whatever. That's cool. You can still be friends. It doesn't matter. And yes, I do know. I wasn't born old. I do remember being afraid of what other people might think. You know what? It doesn't matter. I used to be afraid of being embarrassed. Okay? I've been embarrassed. And I lived through it. I used to be afraid of my house catching on fire. You know what? Every house I've ever lived in has been on fire now. And here I am. It's okay. I'm not suggesting you go set your house on fire. What I'm saying is the things that we fear are not worthy of your attention. Fear sucks the life out of you when nothing is happening. Right? Fear is about the future. Fear is about what might happen. Anxiety is about what might happen. We have enough going on right now. Why do we worry about what might happen sometime? Just live in the now. Walk. Walk along with God. That's all he's asked us to do. Just walk. What's keeping you in that boat? When God has called you to stand up, get out, and walk, what is keeping you in the boat? What are you so afraid of? Everybody has a different answer to that question. What are you so afraid of? Think about it. Dig deep. Is it a practical fear, or is it an emotional, like a social fear? Are you afraid that somebody won't like you? You're afraid that somebody will laugh at you? You know what? I like it when people laugh at me. Being a comedian is kind of okay. It's all right. If you can learn to laugh at yourself and have a little fun and stop being so serious about yourself, all that, the power that people seem to think they have over you, it's not real. What God cares about, what God thinks about, that's real. What are you so afraid of? Get out of that boat. Jesus has called you to walk in the sea of life. Do not let fear keep you confined in a boat that was never meant.